Welcome to Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance or on how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you are on the right path and so much more. Whatever your financial goals, Nathan has the strategies to get you there. And now here's your host, Nathan P. Ross.
Hello and welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. I'm glad you were able to tune in today. We are live, unlike last week, due to the weather there in Houston. And I apologize for anybody that actually was able to tune in, but you got to hear a repeat. And I guess just picking up on the disclosure or disclaimer there at the top, I want to mention that the topics we talk about on this show are fairly complicated as far as tax filings go. And I just have to remind you that everybody's facts and circumstances tend to be different. And I know I get questions routinely about, you know, assorted tax, real estate, retirement tax, questions about private placements, you know, syndicated investments, et cetera, which is the nature of the show here. And I just can't stress enough that your facts and circumstances are your facts and circumstances. They may not be the ones that I'm actually discussing on the air. You have to get a second opinion or an opinion. I'm going to give you usually the general rule unless somebody asks me differently. But I'm going to tell you, as a CPA that's been practicing for 36 years now, it's hard to believe, the answer to almost every question I'm asked is maybe. And it all boils down to the facts that we're presented with. And I also want to be clear that, you know, I don't become, nor does MP Ross CPAs become, nor anyone else that may be associated with this station, your tax, legal, real estate, or other professional advisor. Just because you heard this radio show, you received an email from me, you saw a website, you submitted a question, et cetera, I do not become your CPA. And so until we've engaged and you've got some evidence of that, to just take this as educational, maybe entertainment. I hope you enjoy it. And by the way, you're welcome to call me. The phone lines are open at 281-558-5738. And I do keep an email screen up here. If you want to email me, if you'd prefer to email me, send the message to Nathan, that's N-A-T-H-A-N, at npross.com. Okay, let's mention one thing that was in the news this week. I'm sure it's welcome for at least every CPA in Texas, maybe not all of our clients, but we did get an extension of time to file this year's or last year's tax return. Normally the April 15th deadline, which is coming here sooner than you realize, or if you're in a partnership investment or two, which most of our clients or almost all of our clients are, there's now extensions of time to file those returns. June 15th is the date. It's a month earlier than last year, but hey, we'll take it. There's not a CPA around that doesn't appreciate the extensions, and we don't like the fact that people had to experience hardship to get them, but you know, we will take it at this point. Also, I guess the other news that you may have seen, and this really lays in nicely for what we do with our clients and becoming more and more the case. I mean, it's amazing how just a trillion here and a trillion there that's been passed out over the years or 6 months ago has raised the deficit that we have in the U.S. And I tell you, I'm going to borrow an expression, tweaking it just a little bit. You know, if you think taxes are high now, just wait, because the amount of money that we are upside down on is just, you know, it's dramatic. And, you know, there's going to be a time, And I've been hearing for 30 plus years that, you know, our rates are going to go up, our rates are going to go up, and in large measure, they haven't, which is, you know, it's amazing right now. If you step back 15 or 20 years and somebody told you that we would have 12% tax brackets, I think you'd admit that, hey, I didn't see that one coming. So I guess, you know, I may be the naysayer, but, you know, when you look at the percentage of our federal budget that's, you know, it's not already committed to interest and other things that we can't get out of, in other words, discretionary spending, it'll shock you at how little that budget is discretionary. And I've forgotten the exact percentage, but when you look at the real deficit, not just the one that we will actually put on the government's books, if the government were a company, you would absolutely have to book another, I don't know, it's somewhere in the $70 or $80 trillion range, but since we're the government and Congress can change the rules, we don't book the balance of the $60 or $70 trillion, so I guess it's officially somewhere around $30 trillion. But bottom line is, the higher rates are coming. There's no doubt in my mind. And the $1.9 billion stimulus that just passed the House, I guess it was yesterday, or maybe it was today. I get a little confused because I'm actually overseas right now. But in any event, that's just another $2 trillion. It's like, you know, we've just become desensitized to, you know, exactly how much money this translates to. But anyway, so a lot of what we do, well, let me explain, I guess, at base. The reason that most clients contact us is they learn of our strategy and the use of the self-directed 401 trust. Many people refer to that as a solo K or a single employee. I think the IRS refers to it as a single employee benefit plan, unit trust. There's a number of names for it, and at base, we're talking about the same thing. It's just I use the term self-directed 401 trust to reflect the term that's used in the code is trust created pursuant to Section 401. And, of course, with the self-directed version or the solo K version, it's for a single employee, or if you're married, your spouse counts. It's for people that have self-employment income at some level. There's no statutory requirement, so you could, you know, literally mow yards for your neighbors, and, you know, if you're generating $200 or $300 a year, you're self-employed, and it's the intention to evidence a profit that counts. And, you know, if you can agree that you're doing that, whatever that is, it could be wholesaling on real estate properties, flips. It could be a Mary Kay business, could be an eBay business. Again, that's the requirement, is that you're actively pursuing a profit, then you qualify. The fact that you're a consultant, a lawyer, CPA, a real estate agent or broker that gets a 1099, that would be even more beneficial because you've got the ability to actually make some pretty big contributions. So, you know, you can fully exploit the self-directed 401. Anyway, a question I get quite common, we're going to pick this up when we come back from the break, is, well, why wouldn't I just use my IRA? And I'm going to explain that to you, and then we're going to talk more about the zero tax math that you need to be aware of given what you're seeing right now in the news real time. So anyway, we're coming up on the break. Let's pick up on the, when we return, we'll talk about the IRA versus the 401.
Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com, or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross, right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Paul Berlin, a radio icon. His unique style and warm personality endeared him to so many. His endless stories and great music will never die. Paul may no longer be with us, but his memory will live on. KSEV is proud to continue with the best of Paul every Saturday evening, 6 to 8 p.m. Paul said it best as he closed his show.
We'll meet again at 700 a.m. KSEV in Heavenly Houston.
Welcome back to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. I'm glad you have or had a chance to tune in today. As we were taking the break, I was discussing just a brief introduction to the 401 or self-directed 401 trust. And I know I get constantly I get the question, well, why don't I just use my self-directed IRA? And there's several reasons. I mean, first of all, we have a few perks with the 401 trust, just like you do with a large employer 401 plan, in that we have the ability to get a loan provision. Right now, you can loan up to 50% of the account balance or $50,000, whichever is the least amount. And then you also have the ability, at least in the 401 trust that we adopt, to take in-service distributions, which means at virtually any age, you don't have to be 59 and a half to take a distribution of your funds. You can take a distribution out, which means you can pay yourself. And you know, at that point in time, you're also agreeing to pay the IRS on the portion that you take out, the tax. And then, of course, if you're under the age of 59 and a half, you're going to pay the penalty as well. But try that with your big company plan. If you're 49 years old, you won't have that choice. You'll have some hardship provisions, perhaps, but you really don't control your money. And I hear other folks on the radio, have a lot of real estate gurus that have radio shows these days, and they constantly harp on the fact that you really don't control your money with your 401. Well, that's absolutely the case. I'm in agreement if you're working for a company that has a 401k plan. However, they're sorely mistaken when it comes to the self-directed flavor, because you will be the trustee. You will dictate who, when, where, and how much you invest. You will have the control of the bank account to do so. And that includes you deciding when you want to pay yourself. And I understand this isn't intuitive. I understand that for people that are tangentially involved in consulting about retirement funds, they don't understand the metrics. And I guess I would just suggest that you might wonder what else they might not understand as you're listening to those shows and those or that bit of advice, because this is complicated stuff. It's not as easy as the IRA custodians make it sound. If, again, you're using a very detailed flavor of the 401. But in any event, we were starting the question that I was going to answer is, why wouldn't I just use my IRA? Well, aside from the perks that we have that let us have a lot more flexible access, most people are not aware, and this will be a big surprise to some of the folks that I hear their testimonies about on air, no less, about how much they made or how much they've increased their wealth with their self-directed IRA by investing in private real estate syndications, which, by the way, most of our clients do as well. And there's really no better vehicle if you're behind the eight ball, so to speak, on your retirement. Private real estate syndications are exactly the asset space you want to look at, because they've performed above average for I don't know how long. I've been doing this for almost 20 years, just related to retirement funds and private real estate syndications or private partnerships. That you, again, you hear assorted groups here in Houston. We've got some great programs here in Houston, easily accessed by folks that want to take control of their money and invest in real estate so that they can generate enough income to retire on their timeline or their schedule versus someone else's. And in any event, I hear marvelous stories. I've seen marvelous stories. And yet there's one thing missing. There's never a discussion about the tax return that the IRA is supposed to be filing that's related to the fact that there's leverage or debt, i.e. mortgages, taken out on those apartment buildings or those single-family houses. And that comes as a surprise to people because everybody thinks, oh, my IRA is not taxable. I don't pay tax. Well, you do if you're involving leverage. It is true that if you go pay cash for a piece of rental property, you won't pay the tax that I'm referring to, and I'll give you the term here in a minute, because there's no leverage if you're 100% in on that property. That said, if you're a real estate investor, you're never, ever, ever going to pay cash for an acquisition unless very shortly thereafter you refinance it, because debt for generating rental passive income is a wonderful thing. You know, when you can get 80% or if you're doing it from within your IRA, maybe 60, 65% debt, which means you get someone else to put up the money and you're paying them maybe, you know, anywhere from 2.5 or 3.5 to 5%, depending on whether it's inside or outside of your IRA or 401 trust. And yet you're keeping the rest of that 80%. That's how we make money in real estate. So debt is a wonderful thing for this purpose. That said, if you're doing it from an IRA, you're going to pay tax twice. And you're going to pay once, I'm going to call it the leverage tax. It's actually known by an acronym referred to as UDFI, which is unrelated debt financed income. And anytime you have income throughout that transaction, and I mean income, not cash flow, big difference. Cash flow is what all real estate investors sign up for. The income may or may not be there in the early years because you're working off the fact that we have depreciation, which is a wonderful tool. And by the way, yeah, I guess you've probably seen stories about how our former President Donald Trump and his son-in-law Kushner, used a little tax break, a tax shelter called depreciation to avoid paying taxes, and how horrible that is, right? And I guess I'm going to say we all need to be like them. That's the reason it's in the code, is so we can take advantage of creating, you know, homes for people to live in and jobs for people to build and to manage, et cetera. And depreciation is a wonderful thing, even as a passive investor, because that's what creates cash flow. And understand that cash flow is not taxed inside your IRA or your 401 any more than tax flow is taxed outside, which if you invest with money you had in your money market, you're going to get some distributions throughout the interim years. You may get a refinance along the way, maybe two or three times along the way before you sell the property. And it's only when the revenues for that year, including sales proceeds, exceed the expenses or exceeds what you paid for the property, then you're going to pay tax to from your IRA. And then, of course, you still got another round of tax from your own pocket later on or whenever you decide to take money out of the IRA. The difference with the 401 trust is the 401 trust is the only vehicle, whether it's the big company plan or whether it's the self-directed version, that is exempt from the leverage tax or what we call, again, the UDFI tax. That's huge. If you think about it, that means you've got an extra 25 to 30% because the tax rates that apply to that income when you report it tops out right now at 37% after only it's right around $14,000, $14,000 of income. So, you know, if you've heard some of the stories I have, which I believe are true in most cases, I have no reason to doubt it because I've seen it in my own client situation, you may double your money on exit when you exit that investment. And in the interim years, you may not have any taxable income. But the bottom line is you're going to lose 30% of that gain on average between the recapture that's going to apply. And by the way, your IRA gets all the same deductions that you would as a non-retirement fund investor. But at the end of the day, you're going to be in the higher tax bracket real quick that you may not get to on the money you use from your money market, i.e. the non-retirement fund. So does it make it a bad deal? Not necessarily. It's a better deal than you liquidating your IRA and paying the tax up front because, you know, when you do that, contrary to what's claimed by many of the gurus, you are not getting rid of the IRS out of your life. I know that sounds good. I know it sells memberships. The reality is you're setting a date with the IRS every 5, 6, 7, 8 years when you exit. And I understand the goal is for us to never pay tax on our real estate by investing in more real estate. And I'll just tell you, I don't work off the emotion of those suggestions. I work off the math. And if you'd like to see the math on what that looks like, happy to show it to you, and I'm reminded every time I hear that saying, and some of you folks won't understand this. I'm 60 years old. I know a lot of our listeners are my age probably, so they'll get this. But, you know, when I think about the ability to time your losses on some passive activities with your gains so that you actually can achieve some tax deferral, not tax-free, tax deferral, I understand what that's about. Trust me, we work that to the nth degree to help you know, our clients delay, not avoid, but delay the ultimate outcome. And, you know, I think back about the movie that came out, I can't remember, I was probably 20 years old, 25, 30, it was a long time ago, with Peter Falk and Alan Arkin, called In-Laws. You may remember, I think Arkin was a dentist. I forget what Falk was. He was kind of maybe a undercover CIA guy or something, but it was a cute movie. And I'll never forget when they landed in Central America, wherever they were going, where, you know, they were on a private jet. They get out and they start running across the tarmac, I guess to the airport, and they start encountering gunfire. And so they very quickly decide to back up to the plane. And then Falk looks at Arkin, I believe, maybe it was the reverse, and said, serpentine. And so then they go, you know, running across the tarmac, you know, going from side to side, trying to dodge the bullets. And they even back up at a point because they weren't doing it. One of them wasn't doing it exactly right. And I'm thinking, man, this is the passive activity loss dance in real life. You know, I think of that scene often because the goal is to time the years that you're going to have gains with the years that you put more money in so that you create losses. And, you know, you offset it so you get tax deferral. That's hard in most cases. And it also involves giving up the cash flow, which is the reason we're doing this to begin with, right? So you can't have your cake and eat it too, except with the 401 trust. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to explain to you within the context of the only vehicle that doesn't pay tax, a marvelous option that now the interest in this option is off the charts, whether it's an IRA or 401. The number of Google searches on Roth, R-O-T-H, I'm sure many of you have heard of it. You may not have heard about the Roth 401. Is up significantly. Anyway, we'll be back in a moment.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Every day, 70,000 puppies or kittens are born in the U.S. Cute, right? Well, what's not cute is that half of all litters are accidents. And when a kitten has a litter of oopsies and a puppy has a litter of uh-ohs, pretty soon you have thousands and thousands of OMGs. And that leads to millions of pets being killed in shelters each year. But if 80% of people with pets say they believe in spaying and neutering, then what gives? Turns out that those sweet little fuzzballs can get pregnant sooner than you think. A lot sooner. But here's the good news. You can stop the accident before it happens. You just have to remember one number, 4, as in 4 months. When you bring home Maggie or Ruby or Puddles or Clyde, get them fixed at 4 months old. It can be old enough to get pregnant, and it's definitely young enough to make a difference. Prevent more. Fix at month 4. Visit fixat4.com for more information. Brought to you by Best Friends Animal Society.
Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, heading for the train. Feeling nearly faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down. Took us all away to New Orleans.
Okay, with that, we're back. The famous or infamous words of Kris Kristofferson, freedom ain't worth much, but it's free. And I think of that every time I see someone liquidate a $800,000 401 account, instead of understanding that if you want to pay tax, we can accommodate you, but you'll actually get something for it, meaning that when you're done, you'll pay the same amount of tax to keep your money in the self-directed 401 as you will to liquidate it, and yet you won't pay tax ever again off of that capital. It's an amazing, amazing option that I'm not going to tweak your understanding to say that only the wealthy know about it. Well, no, that's not the case, but I will say very few business owners understand the opportunity. But what I'm referring to, and I mentioned just briefly before we hung up for the break or went on hold for the break, is the concept of the Roth 401. And many of you, or some of you at your company plans, may understand what that is, but unfortunately you don't have high enough participation rates in many cases to where you can max out the top amount. And by that, I know in my own self-directed 401, you know, I was able as a 60-year-old to put up to $63,500 into that account this year. And that's incredible that you're able to legally do that if you're trying to establish income to live in retirement or not in retirement. Let's just assume you're trying to establish income that you control. And so what typically will occur is that, you know, both on the rollover and when you make current year contributions into the trust, you're going to either pay the conversion tax if the money's already in the 401 and we're rolling it over You'll pay money to convert it over to the Roth side of the 401. It'll be the same amount of tax you would pay to take your money out of the 401 at your employer. I'm going to say that again. For the gurus out there that keep telling people they should liquidate their retirement funds, there's no need to do that. You can still control your money. You can still pay yourself. In other words, you can have a 401 that pays you. I know that may come as a surprise to many. And it costs you not 1 cent more than if you did what you are being told to do, which is liquidate your money out of the 401 altogether. And then every dollar you make off that investment, including the principal, after you've met the criteria to do so, it's not, you know, it's 5 years. It's not a long time. In fact, if I recall correctly, that's the amount of time you're being told you're going to be retired if you get involved in some of these opportunities. And that's not necessarily the case. It's the case in some situations, but just understand the mainstream example you're going to hear on the air or on the podcast or at case study night, that's not the large majority at all of the folks that join these platforms. Now, do some of them accomplish it? Sure they accomplish it because they take control of the transaction. They're the syndicator. They get overrides. They have many additional ways to make money off that transaction than the typical passive investor. Can the passive investor retire in 5 years? Just like with the IRS question, maybe. And unfortunately, what you never hear discussed when you hear these tales of success, which there are tales of success. I don't want to make it sound like they're non-existent. I guess I'm just trying to make you understand that's not the norm. That's not the mainstream. Unless, and this is what you never hear discussed, you start off with $1 million to $1.5 million and you define retirement as something less than maybe 150 after-tax dollars a year, or maybe even lower. I've got, you know, examples I could show you all over the board. Then you may retire in 5 years, or if you're using the self-directed 401 trust, which can double your throughput in terms of the income you can save, you can absolutely retire in 5 years. Again, if you're starting off with, you know, I don't know, in that case, maybe $500,000, and you get them into the right projects. And if you can get them in the right projects, quote unquote, is the key verbiage, because as you probably suspect, not every project is a grand slam. There's a lot of singles out there and some doubles, and those are great because singles are projects that you might experience, you know, somewhere around a 10 to 15% type return. I've seen that many times across our client base, but the grand slams are the ones that are 20% plus, which again, I've seen many times across our client base, and those are the ones that, you know, will get you there sooner rather than later. But bottom line is the multifamily real estate asset class is absolutely something that you as a investor should consider, because again, there's no better investment out there that I know of that will get you out from behind the eight ball. And unlike an oil and gas well or various assorted other options, we pretty much know what's coming down the pike on a multifamily investment. You know, the National Apartment Association tracks statistics on real properties across the country. The state associations like the Texas Apartment Association, the local chapter, the Houston Apartment Association, there's not a property in the city of Houston that you can't get information, not necessarily a specific property, but a property in that submarket, certainly, where you know what the anticipated performance is going to be. Now, what you don't know is whether you're investing with a syndicator or lead partner, another term for the party that'll be leading the transaction, that might be just a little bit better than the statistical average. And remember, as I explained to my clients when we're looking at the math illustrations that we do on assorted topics, you're not average. I may use average on the illustration because I got to use something. You're always actual. And the difference between average and actual can be striking at times. And so I always caution people, you know, I'll run out your math illustrations on these topics like, you know, how much extra do I get over the next 30 years if I go one way or the other? Because there's only four options you have to control your money that's currently in a IRA or a 401 to where you're really in control of those funds. And I'll show you with each one of those options what you can expect over the next 30 years. And by the way, if you visit our website, which is at baplanner.com, just like it sounds, baplanner.com, and scroll to the bottom of that home page, you're going to see an illustration, which, again, is based on averages, and it's also based on specific facts and circumstances. And I'm going to remind you, yours are different, most likely, and you're, again, not average, but I have to put something out there. And the reality is, if you ask me to do this for you, which I'll do complimentary, I'll use whatever rate of return you want me to use. I'm using the same facts as what I hear on the radio with other platforms. Those aren't my assumptions. Those are their assumptions. At the same time, they're telling you to liquidate your 401s and hand the IRS, 30 to 35% or more, depending on which state you live in, of your family's net worth. And again, I'm going to use a word I hear them use from time to time. That's insane, absolutely insane that you would do that when you could pay the same amount of tax and let's get those funds into the Roth 401, which is also not subject to any tax, including the UDFI. The UDFI tax that affects the IRA, the 401 is exempt, whether it's the pre-tax side of the plan or the Roth side of the plan. And anybody that's telling you you should liquidate your account, you really need to think about what else they're telling you and maybe associate with other gurus or mentors that understand at least tangentially these rules. And one of those platforms, by the way, is here in Houston, Total Wealth Academy. It's Steve Davis is the owner of that platform. Steve gets it. And, you know, Steve has a relatively new platform. It's been around about a year after he spent 30 years or more with one of the other big platforms in Houston. And I would really encourage you to take a look at his platform. And it's not just the fact that he gets the 401 trust strategy. He also has some training and education that I don't see on many of the other local platforms involving wholesaling and flips. And I'll just tell you, if you're behind on your retirement savings, you know, you're 50 to 60 years old, you can still get there. And you're going to have to work a little, and you're going to have to generate the right kind of income to get the amounts involved that you need. But combined with the self-directed 401 trust strategy, we not only roll money into these 401 trusts, we have clients that are making significant self-employment income, again, from either realtor work, lawyer work, accounting work, consulting, wholesaling, flips, et cetera, to where we can mitigate much of the income tax on those transactions. And collaterally, when you claim a deduction for a self-directed 401 trust, it's not like a normal business where the money went somewhere. You bought a piece of equipment or you paid rent, et cetera. All you've done is taken money out of your left pocket and moved it over to your right pocket. In other words, from the business income over to the self-directed 401, money didn't go anywhere. You still got that money to invest, and we've already written off. Now think about this. There's no other deduction I can offer you where you can write it off before you've ever invested in the activity. So in this case, you're going to invest in the self-directed, or you're going to invest in real estate, primarily private syndications, you will have already expensed the money that's going into that. So do we need tax deductions from the investment that you're investing in? No, we're paying zero tax to begin with. But let's talk about that when we come back, just so I can reiterate this point and you can begin to understand the value of this structure under the code. We'll be back shortly.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV.
Hi, this is Paul Berlin. My program's coming right up. Don't go away.
Congratulations on your free membership to a real estate mentor program. BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday, 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross on AM 700 KSEV.
Wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. Was a one-way conversation. I never got the invitation. The sharpness of her words deceiving, and I couldn't stop the bleeding. And Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Okay, and we're back. And we were discussing the self-directed 401, specifically the Roth option, as we broke. And I guess I just wanted to reiterate the fact that, you know, first of all, tax-free income is what you need to be looking at right now. I mean, again, I'm assuming you're someone that, you know, has defined retirement as, you know, at least $100,000 to $150,000 a year after tax. And if there's a way, and there is, that we can structure your investments and some other tools we use to get you down into the low or no tax brackets, down in the provisional income range, you know, it just goes that much further to define your retirement living. And we're looking, as Neil Diamond says there in that song, it wasn't on this part, I think it was on the first rendition that we did early on, getting by isn't living. And you know, we want to retire with a lifestyle that is actually worth living. And that's what the whole goal here is with these strategies, is that you can achieve a greater throughput and end up, one, saving current year taxes, and then two, saving taxes in the future. Because, you know, when you look at the average life expectancy now, you know, males are 85 to 86 age range, females are 88. The cost of long-term health care or dealing with chronic illness. I saw an article within the last year that the average American couple, again, nobody's average, will spend up to $882,000 in retirement. That's a big deal. And the sequencing involved as to how you can cover that with retirement funds is incredibly complicated, and yet that's what we do. We're looking to stage funds to be available when you need them with some of the tools we use. And real estate is in large measure the driver for that with our current client base. Hey, it looks like we have a client or a customer, I'm sorry, holding. Phyllis, let's deal with your questions. What do you have?
Well, hi, Nathan. I missed most of the show, and you were just talking a little bit about Roth 401 accounts, but why would I consider that instead of the traditional pre-tax 401 account type? Why would I want to take my money out and move it to a Roth?
Yeah, in the right situation, and again, everyone's a little different, just like I've said now three or four times throughout the show, the Roth, you may be at a point in your savings and your retirement wealth level to where now we focus on the tax rate risk. You know, you've got several risks, the continuity or the length of time that we can
know that we're going to have money in retirement is kind of the number one thing that people worry about. And then they finally get around to the tax rate risk, which is, you know, the 401 and IRA, they're wonderful tools, but you can't lose sight of the fact that you've got a partner, the government, and you don't really know what percent ownership that partner owns of those pre-tax plans. And I got news for you. They're getting ready to give themselves a raise is what's going to happen. And so right now, the tax rates, you know, it'd be like if you went into the local grocery store and you saw your favorite, I don't know, soup or chips or whatever at half price. That's going to be the equivalent. The tax brackets are on sale right now. We need to take advantage of these tax brackets to the extent you've already got a certain level of income. Now, I'm not necessarily in favor of handing the IRS a lot of your seed capital, because you get most people that come to us need to make money. I've got very few that come to us with $3 or $4 million in retirement savings. $300,000 or $400,000 is in large measure the average. So, you know, we're looking at how do we simultaneously generate income without killing too much of the or too many of the geese that are laying the golden eggs. We want to be very careful about that. But we also don't want to lose sight of the fact that we're juggling the anticipated tax rates. And if we can recognize more income in a year that you're down in the teens or maybe the low 20s in tax rate, the effective tax rate now, we want to do that because we think you'll reap the benefits later. We know you'll reap the benefits later. So that's the reason why you might consider it. But again, if you're just at the outset, you've got, you know, $150,000, $200,000, you're mid-50s, you got to make money. And I would say the tax risk mitigation is going to be plan B. We do want to get started with that, but again, you got to make money to be able to retire. And so that's why you would use the Roth. And by the way, the Roth compared to the Roth IRA, the Roth 401 compared to the Roth IRA, there are some pretty major differences. The Roth 401 does have RMD requirements or required minimum distributions. That's not a problem with most of our clients because most of our clients will be living on those funds when those kick in at age 72 or 72 and a half, whatever that latest rule change is. So that's not an issue, but it has the single biggest benefit is that it is not subject to the UDFI tax, just like the pre-tax side. It's the only Roth type of account that doesn't pay UDFI. So when you go into an apartment transaction and it's got a mortgage, you know, your partnership has the mortgage, you're not going to pay that tax. And again, that's huge. So anyway, that's probably the single biggest reason, Phyllis, that I can offer.
Okay, so on that, and that would make sense. But do I have to be self-employed to take advantage of this?
Well, you don't have to solely be self-employed. You can still be working for the employer. In fact, you can still be participating in the employer 401. I don't necessarily agree with that in all cases. In fact, very few cases. I suggest you make more out of your real estate, and whatever the employer match is, I think you make more money by putting it into an apartment building through a partnership. And again, it's passive income. You don't have to get out of bed in the morning to go operate those apartments. You'll have somebody probably younger and more energetic and more motivated to do that. And, you know, it's amazing some of the projects that we see. But in addition to your employment with either the 401 or the 401 trust, which the 401 trust, you can either be a Schedule C sole proprietor, you can be an S-Corp shareholder where you own the entire company. It could be an LLC, et cetera. You do have to have the ability to show that you're trying in earnest to generate profit. And that takes a number of scenarios. You know, consultants, I see a lot of people these days that are 1099 with whoever they used to be a W-2 with, or maybe can still structure it that way even now. That happens occasionally. I mean, there's a lot of employers that would love for people that legitimately qualify to be a 1099. Phyllis, what do you do for a living now, if you don't mind my asking?
Well, I do some consulting.
Oh, okay.
I am partially retired, so
yeah,
I do try to get some income, though, to make more money so I can invest more money or figure out how to do it.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the self-directed 401 trust, forget about the fact that we're talking about retirement funds. It is the single most efficient tool, structure, et cetera, that you can invest in real estate for and or with. And I would go so far as to say, if you found money in your attic that your grandfather left you, your challenge is not trying to figure out how to keep it out of the 401 trust. It's trying to figure out how you can qualify to put it in. Because, again, the ability to work with 30% or more capital over what you would otherwise have is huge. If everything else you're being told is correct, if you're being told that, you know, you can generate this kind of money in these types of real estate investments, why in the world would you not want 30% more of your dollars rowing that boat effectively? Okay, there's no good reason. And again, it's ignorance in most cases. I don't want to think about some of the other reasons that might you might be being told that, but you know, understand that being a planner is all about understanding whether it's 401 money, whether it's real estate professional status, whether it's zero tax bracket status, it's understanding which code section to execute under. And when you look at the number of pages of the Internal Revenue Code that deal with taxing you versus all the exceptions, the former is a peanut. Most of the code sections, most of the pages in the Internal Revenue Code, I think it's, 5,000, maybe it's 15,000, I've forgotten. It's a lot. Most of those pages are explaining provisions that allow you, they're not red lights, they're green lights. This is where we can go straight without stopping if we're doing it correctly. Or it's a red light that we can take a right turn on, like the Roth 401, okay? And, you know, we're green light accountants. And we're accountants that understand where you can turn right. And so in any event, I'm going to keep talking about the 401 trust until I guess somebody tells me to shut up. Because it is massively beneficial even before you consider what's getting ready to happen with these tax rates. So in any event, you'll hear more as we continue on each week in that regard. Did you have anything else, Phyllis? We're coming up here at the end of the show, and love to talk to you next week. If you want to give me a call or shoot me an email, nathan@npross.com. And next week's show, I'm sure we'll talk more about Ross. I'm sure I'll get a raft of emails, and so we'll have some clarifying points. Hope you enjoyed the show, and if you've got topics you'd like me to address, feel free to either send an email or call the show. Okay? Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show right here on AM 700 KSEV.